The Supreme Court shuts down a portion of Biden's vaccine mandate. Omicron is proven to be less deadly than originally thought, and Microsoft plans to use their word checker to help you use woke terms. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So, as many of you have actually heard, just as of yesterday, the Supreme Court shut down Biden's vaccine mandate, or at least they sort of did. And I'll get into a little bit of the specifics of that in a second here. But the main part of this is good news. At least the initial section of this is good news. So, basically, this was specifically the mandate that was dealing with the 100 employees or more. So any businesses that had a 100 employees or more were, he was trying to basically force them to get the vaccine to their employees, or you basically got fired. That went away. You had Daily Wire, you had a bunch of other organizations that were trying to put up lawsuits towards this. And of course, the Supreme Court finally came through with a decision just yesterday blocking it. So on Thursday, the Supreme Court blocked the vaccine mandate in a 6-3 decision. All conservative, quote unquote, you know, as conservative as some of them are, but at least supposed conservative justices basically voted against it. And then 3 liberal justices dissenting there. So basically it was blocked in the Supreme Court. That's the main portion of what you need to understand here. Now, the thing is, and the reason why I put sort of in the title of this show is because this is not all of the data. This isn't it, okay? There's more to this than a lot of places are reporting. As I'm reading here through this Daily Wire article, they're not mentioning anything else at all, because I get it. Their lawsuit was specifically for employees, but and it is a victory, but it's a smaller victory, because at the same time, the CMS vaccine mandate for healthcare workers is actually going to go forward. That's something that a lot of places aren't even talking about. They're so busy wrapped up in the 100 or more employees for the businesses that they're ignoring that now every single healthcare worker is going to have to get a vaccine now. Okay. That's not good news. So there's a bit of good news, but there's also some bad news too. So that's really kind of the story here. Okay. This isn't an overwhelming victory necessarily. It's kind of a middle of the road type of situation. So in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court upheld the CMS vaccine mandate while blocking the mandate for the businesses with 100 or more employees. So you had Justice Kavanaugh, John Roberts, Sotomayor, Breyer, Kagan, all of them upheld that CMS mandate, while Clarence Thomas, of course, Alito, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett dissented. So really, you actually had Kavanaugh kind of messing this one up. I mean, that's really kind of the story here, is that Kavanaugh decided that he was going to go the liberal route and basically think that, oh, you know, healthcare workers, that's totally different. So what exactly are they talking about in this one? First of all, by the way, this is going to affect around 10 million healthcare workers, nurses, anybody that works in the healthcare field. You're going to have to be forced to get a vaccine mandate now, and there's nothing that we can do in the courts to deny that, okay? Just so you're aware of what's going on. So, after all of this was basically put through, the actual decision, what they said was, after all, ensuring that providers take steps to avoid transmitting a dangerous virus to their patients is consistent with the fundamental principle of the medical profession, first, do no harm. And that needs to be dissected a little bit, because I don't think that this is what this is about at all. Ultimately, Democrats are, of course, going to try and use this and say, well, it's because they're working with these other people, it's best for the patients, it's best for everybody that they get this vaccine mandate. But they're ignoring the fact that nothing about this was done for any other virus ever in the healthcare field. I mean, many people, if you were going to a school or something like that, you probably did have to get some type of vaccine or something of that sort. But to basically say we're going to fire you if you don't get it is absolutely ridiculous. You're forcing a medical decision. You're forcing a procedure on somebody, and that's not doing no harm. You are doing some harm. Some people have had harm done to them as a result of getting the vaccine. So we need to be paying attention to that. at the end of the day. And that's kind of what Clarence Thomas was pointing out in his statement about it. It seems like Clarence Thomas is the only person that has any common sense at all in regards to what's going on here. But basically what he said is in the statement is that these cases are not about the efficacy or importance of COVID vaccines. They are only about whether CMS has the statutory authority to force healthcare workers by coercing their employees to undergo a medical procedure they do not want and cannot undo. And he is absolutely spot on here. And he seems to be one of the few on the Supreme Court that actually understands what this is about. So although we have a bit of a victory, we also have a bit of a loss, because all healthcare workers, no matter what they do, are going to be forced to get the vaccine now. So just keep that in mind when you're reading different articles and listening to other places and other shows, that this isn't the best victory in the world. There's more to this story overall. Now, of course, Joe Biden was upset by this, of course, along with other Democrats also, because he wants to force everybody to get it. So basically what he said was kind of interesting, because he basically still was telling businesses to do it anyways. Hey, I know that the courts decided that this was unconstitutional, but businesses, do what I say anyways, out of the goodness of your own heart, or out of loving me so much, I don't know. So he said in the statement, I am disappointed that the Supreme Court has chosen to block common sense life-saving requirements for employees. Of course, it has nothing to do with common sense at all. And half the time, we can't even prove that it's saving anyone's real life at this point, because everyone's getting coronavirus anyways, especially with the new variant. So he went on to say, this emergency standard allowed employees to require vaccinations or to permit workers to refuse to be vaccinated so long as they were tested once a week or wore a mask at work. A very modest burden is what he's saying. Testing once a week, a very modest burden. I don't know about you, but I don't want to test per week, every week, okay? That's not a modest burden. That is ridiculous and an authoritarian. This is what you're seeing Democrats do. This is what Biden's doing. So he went on to say, as a result of the court's decision, it is now up to states and individual employees to determine whether to make their workplace as safe as possible for employees and whether their businesses will be safe for consumers during this pandemic by requiring employees to take the simple and effective step of getting vaccinated. Once again, what does this even mean about getting vaccinated when there's so many other things that are affecting this? Okay. There's so that definition of what it means to be fully vaccinated is changing all the time, as I've already reported on. Now they're saying up to date. So what happens? What do you think happens logically? Okay, let's say, for example, we already know that nothing's going to happen with actual employees at these bigger businesses, but healthcare workers, right? They're going to be forced to get the vaccines. It won't be good enough. It won't be good enough, because they're going to tell you, hey, okay, go ahead, do your first vaccinations, do the Moderna, do the Pfizer, do the Johnson & Johnson, but just you wait a second, because in 6 months, we're going to require that you take this booster. In another 3 months, you're going to have to take the second booster. Actually, you need to take all four booster shots before you were done with this, right? Because people that are fully up to date with vaccinations are still getting Omicron more than other people that are unvaccinated. That's a proven fact that I'll get into a little bit later in the show. So he goes on to say in the statement, the court has ruled that my administration cannot use the authority granted to it by Congress to require this measure. Yeah, because we have a constitution, right? But he says, but that does not stop me from using my voice as president to advocate for employers to do the right thing to protect Americans' health and the economy. I call on business leaders to immediately join those who have already stepped up, including one-third of Fortune 100 companies, and institute vaccine requirements to protect their workers, customers, and communities. And of course, he's just going on and basically just saying, you know what? Forget about the fact that the Supreme Court made a good decision here. Do it anyways. That's what he's going to try to do. I can tell you one thing right now. The company I work for is not going to happen. Anybody else is not going to happen. A lot of these places are not going to do that, because you're sacrificing the employee or the employers that you have, the employees that you have. They're not going to want to be there testing every week, wearing masks, doing all these things still, because you're still going to require them to do every one of those steps, even if they are up to date and fully vaccinated in every single possible way, according to this new Biden administration. It never ends, and it always will continue, and you're going to see that happen. So as we can celebrate a little bit about the business side of it, the healthcare workers are going to have to deal with this authoritarian leadership, because now they're going to not only have to get the basic vaccines, but rest assured, they're going to be forced to get the boosters after that. They're seeing how far they can push it. And now they're saying, well, it's do no harm. I mean, right? That's the whole point, isn't it? It doesn't matter. If you're looking at the stats, if you're looking at the stats, you know that everybody's going to wind up probably getting Omicron, or at least a lot more people are going to get Omicron, and you know that Omicron is significantly less deadly. Let's look at the stats. Just a new study that actually just came available here a couple of days ago, showing that deaths from Omicron are 91% less compared to Delta. And I can assure you they're probably even less compared to the original coronavirus. Because, you know, guys, that's how viruses work. Something called science that Democrats used to say that they were the party of, still kind of say it, but we know that's a lie. They don't care about the science whatsoever. So the study was conducted, not peer-reviewed yet, but it basically showed that people with Omicron infections are 74% less likely to need to be placed in the ICU, and the study found that a 53% reduction in risk of being hospitalized as well compared to the other Delta variant. The duration of the hospital stays was actually approximately 70% shorter, with the median of stays being 1.5 days with Omicron compared to the 5 days for Delta. Looking at all hospital admissions for Omicron, 90% of patients were expected to be discharged from the hospital in 3 days or less. Point being, you don't have to wonder about this. I already knew this. Everybody knew this because viruses have always worked this way. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Viruses don't want to kill the host. That's why they don't become deadlier over time. If coronavirus was getting deadlier over time, what it would mean is that it has less people to infect. And viruses want to infect people. It does not want to kill the host. That's the way science works. So when variants arise, mutations of the virus take place, what happens is that they become more infectious but less deadly. That's the way that this has always worked for all time in science. It never has been the opposite of that. But yet Democrats are pretending as if this thing is the most deadly thing in the world and everybody must be afraid of it no matter what happens. And that's a blatant lie entirely. So the study also looked at 52,297 Omicron cases and 16,982 Delta cases that occurred across the state of California between November 30th and January 3rd. So about 3 months of data, or about 2 months of data, and showing that no patients with Omicron required mechanical ventilation at all. This is very telling, and it's exactly why people need to be paying attention to what's going on with these different types of mandates, with these different types of viruses, what's actually happening with the actual data. If you knew this data, would you, in all good sense, or common sense, as Biden likes to consistently say, would you do that? Would you force businesses to force people to get a vaccination knowing this data, knowing that the majority of people that have that are actually getting the virus right now are actually vaccinated people that are also being hospitalized as well? There was actually a hospital in about an hour from me in the state of Florida that put up stats showing that the majority of people that were in the hospital as a result of COVID were vaccinated, okay? I mean, it's comical at this point. And you know what makes it even crazier is that what they consider vaccinated, by the way, is not just having those original vaccines. That when they say vaccinated, that means you've had the original vaccines and you have every single booster available under that particular vaccine. Okay, so that might be two or three boosters, however many there are. They require you to have that many. So even if you got the first vaccine and one booster, that's not enough for them to consider you as vaccinated. So you actually will be put on the unvaccinated list if you had the original vaccines, but no other updates or boosters after that. You get counted as unvaccinated if you are going to the hospital right now, as far as their stats are concerned. So I can assure you that the vast majority of people that are going to the hospital right now clearly have had some type of vaccination, and you're clearly seeing that it does not work, and you have a Biden administration that is forcing tried to force businesses to do it, but now has actually successfully required all healthcare workers to do this as well. It doesn't work. You can clearly see that. You know, even during the actual Supreme Court case, there was a few things that were mentioned by certain justices that were just dead wrong, just kind of showing that even the justices don't have the data correct whatsoever. So, for example, Justice Sotomayor said 100,000 children are hospitalized with COVID. That's a blatant lie. So the actual stats show that 3,194 total minors were admitted to hospitals between March 2020 and June 2021. And that number even includes people who were admitted for other reasons but tested positive for COVID. So for example, if you went to the hospital for something entirely unrelated to COVID, but just happened to have it, which basically would mean that you were probably asymptomatic, they still counted you in those cases. So she's going crazy about this. I mean, literally, only 3,194 people over the course of really more than a year, kids, children, have actually wound up going to the hospital at all. And a lot of those went there not even because of COVID. They just happened to test positive for COVID while they were at the hospital. So she also said in here that they were claiming Omicron is as deadly and causes as much disease in unvaccinated as Delta did. Once again, as I just showed you by that source there, that's not true. No, cases have spiked, but deaths are much, much higher with Delta. The point is that as these variants keep going, common sense and the way that science works with viruses would tell you that they become less deadly. And I don't understand how in the world people like these different justices and other Democrats out there can make claims that they follow the science when that's just not what the science shows whatsoever. They're just blatantly lying, and I believe they know that they're actually lying this entire time. So in a bit of a different story, you actually have Tucker Carlson going off on Brett Kavanaugh, because Brett Kavanaugh was the one that basically was kind of the vote that messed this whole thing up, essentially allowing for healthcare workers to be required now to get the vaccine. And Tucker Carlson called him out on it, and rightfully so. Here it is. Here's the segment here.
I want to bring you a Fox News alert. The Supreme Court invalidated Joe Biden's vaccine mandates for private sector workers. The court found that the Biden administration was using OSHA, that's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, as a workaround to impose, quote, broad public health measures that are, quote, untethered from the workplace. In other words, he didn't have the authority to do this because he's not God and the Congress didn't pass the law. The court decided that Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, by contrast, can remain in place at least for now. But as it stands, this ruling is a rejection of yet another dramatic overreach from a completely out of control administration that believes it knows more about health and science than doctors and nurses. So the question is, how is the Biden administration going to respond to this? Keep in mind, it was just a few months ago that the White House tried to use the CDC as a vehicle to ban landlords from making their tenants pay rent. What does the CDC have to do with your rent check every month? Nothing. The court overturned that mandate as well. But instead of changing its approach, say working with Congress to pass laws, which is how a democracy works, Biden, who is weak and fearful and highly aggressive as a result, decided on a strategy of haranguing lawmakers and calling them racist. Of course, that's always the trump card. You're a racist. Okay, I'll obey. This week, he did it again. He compared senators who disagree with him on the filibuster to the leader of the Confederacy and a segregationist sheriff called Bull Connor. So did that work for him? No. Today, Democratic Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin reaffirmed they're not going to get rid of the filibuster. They would need to get rid of the filibuster for Joe Biden to pass the so-called voting rights legislation that would make it impossible for any state to ask for picture ID before voting. So we'd have national voter fraud forever. That's the whole point of it. So all of this happened after we learned that Biden's approval rating has fallen to 33%. Nationally, his numbers among independents and Hispanics are even lower. That's 25% and 28% respectively. This is like a complete disaster at every level for the Biden administration, and it is more precisely a categorical rejection of the way they are governing, of its equity agenda and its rule by decree and its tendency to bully anyone, attack anyone, maybe even charge with a crime, anyone who gets in the way. So where does this ruling leave the Biden administration? Harmeet Dhillon is the CEO of the Center for American Liberty. She joins us tonight. Harmeet, thanks so much for coming on. So does this mean that the millions of Americans who are waiting to get fired from their jobs because they won't obey this arbitrary command from the president can keep their jobs?
Well, thank you, Tucker. This is a very important ruling, and it is indeed a reprieve for the millions of Americans who work for employers who do not wish to impose this mandate on their workers. But if you work for an employer who already is imposing a mandate based on their own initiative or because of a state rule imposing such a mandate, then you're in a completely different situation. So I represent the Daily Wire, which has over 100 employees, which is the size covered by this. And the Daily Wire took a stand early on, saying that they would not comply with what they view as an unconstitutional mandate. And they're very happy today that their workers don't have to do this, although many have voluntarily agreed to be vaccinated. What this is showing us, Tucker, is that, you know, right now we have a 3-to-1 in terms of the number of the federal mandates that President Biden has tried to push. Three of them have been struck down so far, and only the one today with healthcare workers, which I disagree with, but that has gone forward. So 10 million healthcare workers do have to get vaccinated if they wish to keep their jobs in a covered facility, which is really unfortunate given the massive shortage that we have of healthcare workers right now in our hospitals.
Yeah, with no help from Brett Kavanaugh, I notice. Cringing little liberal. Yeah, sorry, I'm not right. going to ask you yeah. to respond to that.
All right, so yeah, that's kind of the highlight of it right there. I mean, really calling him out for what it is, because ultimately, how in the world they can sit there and basically say, yeah, it's perfectly not constitutional, or it's not constitutional whatsoever for your employees or employers to require their employees to get this vaccine, but totally fine for the healthcare workers to also get this as well, regardless of what unit they're in or whatever they're doing at a hospital, they're going to be required to do that. I don't understand how in the world he can go from one to the other and actually make that make any sense between the two of them. But the point is that Tucker Carlson obviously rightfully calling him out, as all of us should be doing, because this isn't exactly the perfect win, like I mentioned before, that a lot of people are trying to make this out to necessarily be. But of course, you have crazy people and crazier people like Joy Reid, which believes that everybody that's unvaxxed should pay some kind of tax as a result of this. Check it out here.
Let's talk about what other countries are doing, because at some point, I feel like people who are willfully unvaccinated, fine, don't get vaccinated. But they need to start to pay a little bit more of the cost of what this is doing to our system. There are fines that are levied in places like Germany. Germany has stopped paying for the tests, the virus tests for people who choose to be unvaccinated. They've ended quarantine pay for those without vaccinations. IKEA, the company, is slashing sick pay for unvaccinated UK workers. If you are a smoker, insurance companies can charge you more. They can charge you a premium of up to 50%, and you have to put that on the form when you apply for insurance. At some point, don't we have to make people who are just saying, I'm willing to take the risk to be unvaccinated, take the risk for me and take the risk for everyone I come in contact with? Shouldn't they have to pay more into the system because they are collapsing our health system? They're the ones in the ERs. They're taking it up. If you have a stroke or you have a heart attack, you can't get in the ER because they're taking up all the beds. So shouldn't they have to pay more?
That is the worst segment I've ever heard in my entire life. The amount of lies in the like 30 second ending in there is unbelievable. It really is. So first of all, no, forcing people to get a vaccine is not the same thing as somebody not smoking cigarettes. Like, I think anybody with common sense can get that. And at the same time, somebody choosing to smoke cigarettes that they know is dangerous for their health is not the same thing as somebody choosing not to get a vaccine. Okay. It's absolutely insane for somebody to do that. I mean, first of all, not getting a vaccination is not an action. That's simply saying I trust my immune system, which we all have. It's no different from anything else. And if their vaccines were so great and so perfect, why is it that you're so upset over the unvaccinated? Why is it? I mean, I've posted about this for the past few days. They're not afraid of the unvaccinated because of the fact that they think that this big massive threat. No, what it is that the unvaccinated are a threat to their narrative. The unvaccinated prove that you don't need to have the vaccination and can be perfectly fine without it. That's what they don't like, and that's why they attack them so much. She's saying they're overwhelming these hospitals. That has not happened. That may have been the case 2 years ago. But that's not what's happening right now. Right now, the vast, vast majority of people that are in hospitals have been vaccinated to some degree. And even if it says unvaccinated, I guarantee you it's because they got the first vaccination, but not the boosters, and they counted them as unvaccinated anyway. Or maybe people that showed up to the hospital for entirely different reasons, but tested positive for COVID, so they just said, hey, you're a COVID case now. It's unbelievable what they do to try and frame this to fit their narrative. Joy Reid is crazy, she's a liar, and everything that she's talking about in this segment makes no sense whatsoever. To sit there and say, oh, well, they must pay for what they're doing or something, as if somebody can't get a procedure done because of the fact that somebody or all these people are unvaccinated. It's just not true. I mean, smoking cigarettes, how in the world does that make any sense? People smoke cigarettes knowing that there's a risk. If anything, I would compare smoking cigarettes to getting the vaccine, because both of them require or have you basically opting in to use a product to put something into your body that has risks. For some people, they can smoke cigarettes for 50 years and have no problem. For some people, they can take a vaccine and may not have a problem. But for some people, they're going to get lung cancer if they smoke cigarettes long enough. And for some people, they might just get a heart attack because they had a vaccine. The point is that everything that you do in life has risk. And it's up to the person to decide that they don't want to do anything. And that's perfectly fine because people should be able to choose what they do and what they don't do. But you cannot by any means sit there and say that by people trusting in their own immune system, that is equivalent to them knowingly undertaking and using a product that has a massive warning label on it, telling them that there are a bunch of risks for using said product. That's ridiculous. Joy Reid has absolutely no idea what she's talking about whatsoever, and nobody should be listening to anything that she's saying at all. So, with that being said, moving to a different story here, you have Microsoft, actually, interesting story. I kind of saw this coming a long time ago, but basically, Microsoft is kind of starting to push some of this woke culture where they're going to use their word checker to basically change your or recommend certain woke terms as a replacement of it, okay? So they want all of your messaging and everything to be inclusive and everything. So let's say, for example, you're writing this paper or something like that into your Word document, right? And you're writing something and you have Word just automatically replace it with something else, right? So if the word's really that obvious of a change, oftentimes Word will do that and it'll kind of automatically shift that word over for you. So for example, you can put in here where it says, instead of saying Postman Pat, it would change it to Mail Carrier or Postal Worker, right? So instead of Headmaster, it becomes Principal. Instead of Mistress, it becomes Lover. Instead of Master, it becomes Expert, because apparently saying Master makes people think they're slaves for some reason. I don't know how that's possible. And then Manpower turns to Workforce, Heroine becomes Hero, and among other changes that they're also putting in place here. So this is something that I kind of thought was actually going to happen. There was actually a few conferences that Microsoft was having for their developer conferences and whatnot, and you actually had several of the people introduce themselves kind of in the beginning of everything and say, my name is Jason and I'm a white male with brown hair and this height and blah, 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 blah. And it was like, wait, what are they doing? So somebody had commented on it and basically said, well, they're actually explaining what they look like for people that are visually impaired or whatever, or blind and want to know who it is they're listening to. And it's like, okay, but like, why does that matter, right? Why do you need to explain that you're this color, this height, this skin color, this hair color? You know, what is the point of doing that? And it really is kind of odd that they do that, but I'm not surprised at this point either. So there's another bill, actually, that Josh Hawley put up in, or at least for Congress, and we'll see exactly what happens with this. I don't know how far it'll go, but basically what it is actually supposed to be banning insider training in Congress. What's so interesting about this is that you oftentimes have to look at the salaries that a lot of people in Congress are making and then ask yourself, how is it that they're so rich? How is it that Nancy Pelosi is making millions and millions and millions of dollars? I wonder what's happening. And then you actually look at the investment she's making, and then you quickly realize that she knows something that you don't know, that other people are not allowed to know. She invests her money into the market like crazy, and they all work out to return her on these massive investments. That's how she makes her money. That's why all of these people in Congress half the time, Democrats specifically, are extremely, extremely rich and make well way more than what they normally would actually be making. What's so crazy about this in its entirety as well is that think about Martha Stewart, for example. She literally got kind of stricken from her entire career, arrested, everything, for insider trading. Yet Nancy Pelosi does this all the time. If you haven't seen it, check out, I think it's Pelosi Tracker. And I don't think they're on Twitter anymore. I think they got banned. They must have been too far over the target. I don't know. But check them out either on Getter, Gab, because they post all of her financial workings, and you would be surprised at how many things she actually is involved in. So the legislation entitled Banning Insider Trading in Congress Act will stop lawmakers and their spouses from holding, buying, or selling individual stocks. However, the bill would not ban investments in mutual funds, exchanges, traded funds, or treasury bonds. So we'll see what happens with this. Of course, it's just a bill that's been introduced, so who knows right now, but still worth mentioning in the whole ebb and flow of things. So one of the last main stories for this episode is actually dealing with Biden's inflation. It's something that I think people need to think about when dealing with paying for products, because we're all doing it. We're all buying groceries. We're all shopping and doing things all the time. And maybe sometimes we don't realize exactly how much that inflation is taking place, but to see another tactic. So Domino's, for example, the one of the bigger pizza chains that's out there, says that it has dealt with unprecedented increases in the cost of food. So this is from a message from the CEO, Richard Allison. And he said, he was explaining that they were used to dealing with increases around 3-4%. This past year, it has been 8-10%. So obviously a lot more than what Biden is saying, right? So they basically said that they're going to be changing the pricing, or sorry, they're keeping the price, but they're changing the amount of wings you're going to be getting in their in one of their packages that they have. So the response to rising inflation coupled with rising food costs, labor costs, Domino's has announced that their $7.99 wing deal will no longer come with 10 pieces, but drop to 8. And I think this method of trying to compensate for rising costs is so, so important for us to understand. Because what this basically means is that a lot of times these companies aren't just raising the price, because if they make the prices higher, they make you realize something's different with the price, or that I'm paying a lot more. When in reality, you need to watch the amount of stuff that you're getting nowadays. Be very, very mindful of that. Whether that's a bag of chips, where they reduce the amount of chips that are in the bag, or reduce the size of something, but they keep the actual price the same. Just be on the lookout for that. So in other words, it's still costing you more, even when you think you're paying the same amount, than it used to be. Because everything has gone up. Everything is more expensive under Biden, and this administration has been a complete, entire failure. I don't think anybody with any common sense could say anything other than that. This has to be the first year of any presidency that I've ever seen in my entire lifetime, or that I've ever heard of. So last story for today, kind of a funny one. It's this TikTok nurse. I don't know exactly what you want to call this. This guy's actually a comedian, apparently. I know a lot of people were thinking that this guy was serious. I mean, it makes sense. Apparently, he's trying to be funny, and he's going on about this thing. But basically, he gets in front of the city council meeting and sings this song about how much he wants vaccines, and he kind of bases the lyrics off of other popular songs and things like that. So go ahead and check it out here.
With the real Dr. Fauci, please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. Vaccinate your mom. Vaccinate your dad. Vaccinate the happy. Vaccinate the sad. Vaccinate your babies. Vaccinate them, even if they got rabies. Vaccinate my life. Vaccinate my wife. Vaccinate your DNA. Vaccine created by the CIA. Vaccinate your body. Vaccinate me at the party. Vaccination freak. Vaccination freak a leak. I want the vaccine in my life. I want the vaccine for my wife. I want to vaccinate you all day long. Vaccinate you while I wear my thong. Vaccinate me. Vaccinate who? Vaccinate she. Vaccinate her. Vaccinate them. Vaccinate my friend. I want to vaccinate to the end. Vaccinate me pure L. I love you. What can I say? DNA, I love you. I got the pure L, feeling pure, so clean. Got the lights off, cause I'm calling Paul. Do you gotta clean the mic? You gotta vaccinate. You gonna get corona from Mona. Don't vaccinate.
All right, that's enough of that. So honestly, I don't even know where to go with that one. Honestly, it's just so weird. Once again, obviously this guy can't be serious. I'm pretty sure, like, they were saying that he's a comedian. He has a following doing stunts like this and whatnot. So the guy's not serious. I know a lot of people thought that he was like an actual liberal trying to be taken seriously. It was supposed to be funny. That's the whole point. But, you know, either way, you can kind of start your weekend with a little bit of a laugh at how ridiculous that is, because there probably are people out there that are just that crazy about the vaccination. So I have no idea if this guy's for the vaccine or not. I have no idea what his political beliefs are, but it's still just funny. We can just kind of see it as the ridiculous, outrageous kind of clip that it really is. So with that being said, that's all I have for you on this episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one, as always. And you can always leave a review as well on Apple Podcasts, as it does help the show out. And remember to follow me on any of the social media networks and pretty much on everything so far as of right now. Getter, Gab, you name it, Telegram. You can check me out there. But with that being said, I thank you all for watching, and I will see you on the next one.